Xbox. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment. Always something I look forward to. Hopefully you do as well. We talked about books this morning, and really good books, with our friends Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. After spending lots of time reading and studying, they've come up with this list, and they join us this morning, and it's a great pleasure. Hello, my friends.
Good morning.
Hi, Jim.
Good to see you both. All right, Connie, where would you like to begin?
Okay, so I brought in two extremely creepy novels, which I think fit with the day out there, weather-wise.
And yeah, very blustery, very overcast, very...
It's October. It's late October, so...
Turbulent.
Exactly.
Turgid.
Oh, I love those words. So the first one I have is a novel called See What I Have Done by Sarah Schmidt. And I have a feeling when I say this little refrain that a lot of listeners out there will remember this maybe from their childhood. So you'll remember, Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. So I know I grew up hearing that, and I grew up in Massachusetts, and I've always been fascinated by the Lizzie Borden case. And so apparently has the author Sarah Schmidt. In her debut novel, she recasts one of the most fascinating murder cases of all time into an intimate story of a strange and volatile household. What we know, and this is fact, is that on the morning of August 4th, 1892, Lizzie Borden calls out to her maid, "Someone's killed father." The brutal axe murder of Andrew and Abby Borden in their home in Fall River, Massachusetts, leaves little evidence and many unanswered questions. While neighbors struggle to understand why anyone would want to harm the respected Bordens, those close to the family have a different tale to tell of a father with an explosive temper, a spiteful stepmother, and two spinster sisters with an eerily strong bond. As the police search for clues, the sister Emma comforts an increasingly distraught Lizzie, whose memories of that morning flash in scattered fragments. Has she been in the barn or the pear arbor to escape the stifling heat of the house? When did she last speak to her stepmother? And had her stepmother really left to call on a neighbor? Are there answers to be found in See What I Have Done? Let's just say that I finished it with one strongly formed opinion, and when my mother-in-law finished it, she had come to a very different conclusion. So you can decide.
Oh, there you go. All right. It is See What I Have Done, right?
Yes.
See What I Have... Try it again. See What I Have Done by Sarah Schmidt.
So on to possibly an even creepier novel.
Ooh.
This one is The Visitors by Catherine Burns. And The Visitors conjures the cloying claustrophobia of Grey Gardens in a compelling debut novel. At times, I wanted to hurl this deeply disturbing book across the room in horror, and at the same time, I couldn't, and I had to keep reading it. Unmarried sister Marion Zetland lives with her older brother John in a crumbling mansion near an English seaside resort. A timid spinster in her 50s who still sleeps with teddy bears, Marion does her best to live by John's rules, even if it means turning a blind eye to the noises she hears coming from behind the cellar door, ignoring the women's laundry in the hamper that isn't hers. For years, she's buried the signs of John's devastating secret into the deep recesses of her mind, until the day John is crippled by a heart attack and Marion is forced to go down to the cellar and face what her brother has kept hidden.
That sounds very good. I like that idea. You don't know whether they're throw it across the room or just
or keep
devour
reading.
It. Yes. The Visitors by Catherine Burns.
And absolutely switching things up, I go next to a cookbook. And this is a beautiful cookbook. It's called Sweet Desserts from London's Ottolenghi. Yotam Ottolenghi is widely beloved in the food world for his beautiful and inspirational cookbooks, as well as his London delis and restaurant. And while he's known for his savory vegetarian dishes, he actually started out his cooking career as a pastry chef. Sweet is entirely filled with delicious baked goods, desserts, and confections, starring Otto Lange's signature flavor profiles, and ingredients including fig, rose petal, saffron, orange blossom, star anise, pistachio, almond, cardamom, and cinnamon. Sweet features simple treats such as chocolate banana and pecan cookies and rosemary olive oil orange cake, alongside recipes for show-stopping confections such as cinnamon pavlova with praline cream and fresh figs. So start your holiday shopping early with this very gift-worthy cookbook. And then I have one. Usually I let Kate do all the kids' books, but I couldn't help myself. And so I have one for kids, although I think adults would appreciate this one as well. And then I know Kate has some more children's books. So the one that I brought in is The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine. And it is by Mark Twain and Philip Stead, illustrated by Aaron Stead. So the story behind the story here, as we know it, is that back in 1879, Mark Twain was at a hotel in Paris, and he was with his two young daughters, and they were begging him for a story that night. He began telling them the tale of Johnny, a poor boy in possession of some magical seeds. Later, Twain jots down some very rough notes about the story, but the tale is left unfinished. For many years, the notes lingered in the Mark Twain archive at the University of California at Berkeley, until author Philip Stead is asked to transform the notes into a fully formed fairy tale. So with only Twain's fragmentary script and a story that stops partway as his guide, Stead writes a tale that imagines what might have been if Twain had fully realized his work. Johnny, forlorn and alone except for his pet chicken, meets a kind woman who gives him seeds that change his fortune, allowing him to speak with animals and sending him on a quest to rescue a stolen prince. In the face of a bullying tyrant king, Johnny and his animal friends come to understand that generosity, empathy, and quiet courage are gifts more precious than power and gold. And Philip's wife, Erin Stead, illustrates the tale, and her illustrations are nothing short of a masterpiece. They channel grace and humor in this timeless story.
It is an absolutely gorgeous book. Even if you don't want to read it, you should just get it just to look
just
at it.
Just to look at it,
yeah.
My God.
But then you could read it and actually enjoy it, too.
That's right.
Yeah. It's The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine by Mark Twain, Philip Stead, and beautifully illustrated by Aaron
Indeed.
Stead. Gorgeous
yes.
book.
It's gorgeous.
It'll be, I assume, a big gift book for
I
the holidays.
So. I think that's a great idea, Joe.
Perfect. Yes. So try to help where we can. All right. Where now, let's go to you, Kate, and see what you've got. You have a wonderful stack of children's books.
I always come prepared with picture books, and today's no different. My first choice, Make Science Fun for the Preschooler. It's a book about planet Earth, written by planet Earth, for the reader who is floating through space on Earth. And the book is Earth, My First 4.54 Billion Years. And it's actually written by Stacy McAnulty and illustrated by David Litchfield. Science facts about our planet are presented by a smiling-faced Earth in story form. And we find out that Earth most favorite things to do is spinning, which takes a whole day to go around once and a year to circle the sun. Earth reminisces about being an explosive, gassy, cranky baby, which imagery fits the geological spectrum, and has and talks about what changes have occurred on Earth through the billions of years, including our arrival. It's a great book for your inquisitive young child.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a really, really cool book. And our next book is the third in a series of books about Bruce the Bear, who is the reluctant mother of four adopted goslings. But that's a previous story. In this story, Bruce's Big Move by Ryan T. Higgins, Bruce, who loves solitude and order and quiet, decides that it's time to move to a new house to get away from the chaos created by three mice who have taken up residence in his current home. That's also a previous story. But in this one, a beautiful new home is finally found, making Bruce very happy, and the Goslings very unhappy. I won't tell you the ending. I'll only say that Mama Bruce, the curmudgeon, always ends up doing the right thing for those around him, despite himself. And there are great illustrations, both for the child and for the adult. And check out the mice that look like a Marx brother.
Oh, very cool. Bruce's Big Move by Ryan T. Higgins. All right.
And lastly, we have a holiday book by Matt Tavares, I believe it is, called Red and Lulu. And Red and Lulu are a cardinal bird couple that have shared a huge Norway spruce for years. And one day, Red returns from getting his breakfast to find that the tree has been cut down and hoisted upon a large semi. He can hear Lulu's sweet singing from the branches in the tree as it drives away. And in frantic pursuit, with Red, we watch from a bird's eye view the tree traveling to strange, faraway places. Red loses track of the tree as it enters the city, and you may have guessed where the tree ends up, it being the holiday season.
Yes.
And in the end, love conquers all, and Red and Lulu are reunited among the holiday festivities. I'm not going to tell you how that happens, but it, again, it's a very sweet book. You also find out a lot about the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree and its history and some of the notes in the back. It's a fun book.
If you love New York at Christmas.
If you love New York at Christmas. And the illustrations are just full and very sweet.
Red and Lulu by Matt Tavares, and that is out as well. Anything else going on you would like to share with the group?
Oh my gosh, we've got our usual, you know, we've got the book clubs coming up and poetry night, and we've got John Gray from WTEN coming in December with his new book, God Needed a Puppy, which everybody's really excited about, so wanted to mention that. And we're just a little bit scared because September and October went by so fast, and that means November and December are going to really fly at the bookstore, so I'm just hanging on.
And there we go. Well, we're off to the races. For more information on the Bat and Kill bookstore and all of the beautiful things that they present, you can go to, you can go visit them in Cambridge. You can do that first, but you can also check them out online, batandkillbooks.com. batandkillbooks.com. Connie Brooks, Kate Reed, thank you so much
for being here.
A delight to see you both as always. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.